Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. The book that I'm going to be reviewing today, I listened to as an audiobook, and it was recommended on the goodreads.com SFBRP listener group, a discussion group there, and there's this one thread called Books I Would Like to See Reviewed. And generally, if somebody recommends a book in there, I'm like, okay, that's on my maybe list. But if then somebody else says, hey, no, you should really do this, you should really read this, it's really good, I'll have more chance to do it, to actually get round to the book. So that's a good way if you want to hear me read, if you want to hear me review a book, or a book that you would like to see reviewed in audio format to see it. That's the title of it there. So go to goodreads.com. Anyway, that's what this is. You can check it out. Someone said, hey, check out The First 15 Lives of Harry August. It's written by Claire North. And someone said it's very interesting. And then someone else said, oh, yes, and it's also narrated by Peter Kenny. Now, Peter Kenny, we know from our... me and Julian really enjoyed his audiobooks, which he did all of the not all of them. He did many of the Culture series by Ian M. Banks. He was the audiobook narrator on that, and he's very good at that. And I thought, oh, okay, well, let's go for it. Peter Kenny, I know the narrator. So yep, I got it as an audiobook from Audible, and then went and started listening to it. And straight away, I was like, "Oh, okay, I understand what this is." The First 15 Lives of Harry August. It's I'm gonna just sort of do some setup here. I don't want to get too much into spoilers, but it's very clear, quite like right away, what kind of book this is. And that is a book where somebody keeps looping through their life in time. So it's a bit like. Groundhog Day, in Groundhog Day, someone lives their life over and over again. Not a lot of explanation of why, but Phil Connors just keeps going back in time, and he learns from his past lives to improve on his life in that day and to try and make his life better and make other people's lives better. Yeah, very good. So there's some other science fiction books which have done this kind of thing. Famously, there's one called, I've not actually read it, but it's called A Replay by Ken Grimwald, and apparently some other people have mentioned another book which is called Life After Life by, and I made a note of it, and now I have lost the note of who wrote Life After Life. Kate Atkinson. So Kate Atkinson wrote a book called Life After Life. I've not read that one, but I did see it. Mentioned in somebody else's review of this book, and said, "Hey, this kind of stuff has been done, you know, with Replay and Life After Life and Groundhog Day. The whole one person living their life over and over again and doing it. Hasn't this been done before?" And I was like, yes, it has been done before. This is another go at it. And what I like about this one is that it's clear very early on that it's not just one person who lives his life after life. It's actually a number of people who live their lives one like time. So when they die, they wake again and they're in their childhood body again. And what are they doing there? And the people in this book, the Ouroboros people, or whatever they call it, the Ouroboros, can't remember the exact pronunciation or what even the word is. There's actually another word, Kalamachakras or something. It's been about 2 weeks since I finished reading this book, so I don't remember it exactly. But these people, they keep living their life over again, and they all kind of band together in something called the Kronos Club. Now, the idea being that... and again, this is explained in the first few chapters of this book, so I'm not going to... There's no massive spoilers here. The idea being that you don't live your life over again. Actually, the entire universe kind of lives its life over again, or a certain span of time where humans are living in, it happens again. And again, this is something that is explained, but like some of the rules and some of the things, I don't want to give too much away, because part of the interesting part of this book is to actually go, if these rules are like this, how will they play out? But the idea being that generally our world, it keeps repeating itself, the cosmos keeps resetting itself, and as it plays through again, a certain number of specific people live, they remember what happened in the previous lifetime or their previous stream, life stream, or the previous cosmos that has gone past. So it's not like when you die, that one person goes back in time. It's like the entire cosmos or this section of time runs through completely. And then the next time through, some people remember the stuff that happened beforehand. So the book opens with a guy called Harry August on his deathbed, and some young girl, like this six-year-old girl, comes to him and says, "Ah, I've got to tell you something very important. You're the oldest person who is in the Kronos Club who is about to die. I'm going to tell you this because in my last life, when I was an old person, somebody else told me this." And you can, so the idea being that you can tell, it's easy to leave messages for people later on in that same run through the universe because you can just leave it written or leave notes. But to get messages going backwards in time, not to the previous cosmos, because it's impossible. That's a, you know, causality goes from cosmos to cosmos, not like in time to time. Maybe I'm not explaining this correctly. The idea being that if you remember something when you were a child that you used to know when you're adult, you used to know that in the 1990s, and when you were a child, it's the 1920s. And if you tell someone in the 1920s when they're old, they'll remember, they'll learn about it in the 1920s, and then in their next life, they'll wake up in 1850 and they'll know it in 1850. And then in their next life, they'll know it when, you know, they'll tell someone then. Anyway, the idea being that as you can pass stuff back through time. Again, not a spoiler. This is revealed right in the very, very, very start of the book. Like, it's the prologue. It's like, "Ah, Harry August, I'm glad to find you. We've got a message from the future." And so the book begins. Now, my problem with some time travel, well, let me put it this way. With time travel books, even though I wouldn't say this is specifically time travel, even though people can pass, and this is the weird thing, it is time travel, but people aren't messing up with causality within each cycle of the cosmos. It's sort of like within each cosmos, causality plays out perfectly. It's just that in the next one, some people have more information than other people. And so that's the only way. But it doesn't. But then you can't go back to a previous cosmos and say anything like that. It has to go to the next one. So this is what happens. And so as soon as you find out about that, it's like, okay, now I'm interested to know what kind of time travel, if it's going to be called time travel, what kind of time travel, what kind of time loopiness is this going to be? What kind of book is this going to be? Because when there's time travel, I always feel like there's two distinct ways that you can write a time travel story. One is that the story is about the time travel itself. So we set up a situation. Someone's gone back in time and they have to travel back to the future. And it's about, you know, sort of like looping and causality and paradoxes and stuff like that. That is one style of science fiction or even fantasy, like time travel story. It's about the time travel itself and the problems that time travel cause. And then there's another kind of time travel story, which isn't about like the mechanics of it and about the story itself. It's more about what happens. Like, there is time travel, and then what happens to the person who it's happening to? And I think Groundhog Day is very much in the second one. At the start, it's like, oh, what is this time travel? But that's never answered. The idea of, like, why does Phil Connors keep going back in time and living the same life over and over again isn't the plot of the story. I mean, that is what's happening, but it's never explained. You know, the point of the story isn't resolved once the time travel paradox is either resolved or explained, unlike, say, Back to the Future. Because then as soon as the time travel paradox is explained and resolved and explained, then that's the end of the story, you know, even like going all the way through it. So I was thinking, well, what is this story going to be? Like, when this pays off, is it going to end with the time travel explained and with that whole thing paid off and the problem solved in the form of time travel? Or is it going to be a character development he or she just happens to be in a different time, and then what do they learn about themselves? Or is there just going to be like, oh, and now we're in another time zone and then stuff happens? You know, like if you're talking about the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, I think me and Jesse did a podcast about that one and another one. And that was one example that we use, is like, okay, someone is out of time, and then what happens just because they know stuff other people don't know because they're out of time? They can be in the past, they can be in the future. So yeah. So once I understood the rules of this thing, I was like, well, there is obviously one big problem with time travel when you have a if there's a story with time travel and somebody has a and there's an antagonist, like there is a bad person who is doing something bad, or you know, something needs to be stopped. If someone's got a time machine or has access to some kind of time travel, causality, looping, whatever, the one thing that you should always do is like, I have to get back in front of time of this other person and then stop them doing that. But then, oh, they're also going to get backwards and forwards, and like they're going to try and get before me in time and stop me doing that. And it always gets into that kind of thing. It's like, well, who can get back before earlier and say, you know, no, you can't do that. Like, or stop them doing it, or stop them existing. And so what often annoys me about time travel stories is that that's never really explained, because you just think, well, this is really easy. Just whoever has a time machine now, just go back in time and stop it happening, and then that's fine. Of course, that's unsatisfying. So a lot of stories have to put things in place to stop that happening. Like, you can't just, well, it can't just be that easy. So we're going to make it more difficult, and then I don't know, sometimes it's just a bit unsatisfying to see that kind of thing. Unless, you know, there's lots of action, like a movie like Terminator. It's like, oh, we keep sending things further and further forward, or further and further back in time to stop this. And then we're going to do it again, and then we're going to do it again. You're like, well, do these rules work out? I'm not sure. So I was thinking, is that what is going to happen here? Now, what I really liked about this book is that the time travel, you're not going back and changing the past. You're actually just changing the outcome of another run through of our cosmos, but like the next time through, you know, after the next Big Bang, or after the Big Bang, like after the universe, which is slightly inside our universe. I think this is in a few different science fiction books, and I think also in the Culture series, the idea is that there's lots of different, if you're thinking four dimensions, but I should reduce it down to like three dimensions or two dimensions anyway. So there's like a bubble expanding out, and that's our current universe. But just inside that bubble is another bubble also expanding out. And then just inside that is another bubble expanding out. And inside that is another bubble expanding out. And but you can only ever, in the idea of this book, in that first 15 lives of Harry August, you can always just burrow deeper into it. You can't get out again. So that's what I was thinking, this is going to be interesting, that it isn't a time travel. You're not just going back and stopping someone. Like, everything that you know from this life, in the next cycle through, they're also going to know everything that they know in this life on the next cycle through. So you can't get back ahead of an ignorant person. You can only do that. So I was thinking, is that what's going to happen here? Now, this is getting nerdy into science fiction-y, time travel-y stuff, but what I was actually pleased to see was that this book is a slightly different take on a similar problem. And it's kind of set up in the book that the idea is like, oh, if somebody in one of these run-throughs changes something too much, and this is another rule that comes out, if someone changes something too much and other people aren't born, it means they're never born again in any of the later runs through the universe. So if you go back and kill the mother of a person, and then the next time that they're born, they're not one of these, they don't remember the things from their previous life anymore, and it's like they're refreshed. And there's a way to do a forgetting, so you can actually make people forget that they've ever known what they've done in the last 10 lives, and things, you know, the memories drop out, and it's sort of like, oh, they kind of refresh. And I don't think it was ever explained explicitly in the book, but it seems like there's always so many of these people. So if some of them die out, in the next run through, they'll be replaced again, but maybe not by the same people, but also like it could be different people. And so the Kronos Club has like this rule, I guess maybe an unwritten rule, but also maybe a written rule, I'm not sure, which says, okay, we can't disturb too much of the like general events of the universe, because like it we can fiddle around a little bit, we can cause this kind, but there's always this baseline of meddling by the Kronos Club in each time. The idea being that if someone is born, they their first few years of their life is really boring to go through childhood and do the same thing in childhood, and they don't have any money if they're born poor. The idea about the Kronos Club knows who these people are. They can get in contact with the Kronos Club and say, hey, can you just adopt me and then let me roam free for the next few years? years. So when I'm age 6 to 16, I can just do whatever I want and read what I want and travel with you or something else. So there's that kind of thing going on. So there's this kind of weird, I know, weird to say, a paradox in this book that all the time the Kronos Club, the members of the Kronos Club, who can change, they know things about what's happening in the world, but they're always like, okay, we gotta not affect the world too much. Now, this is another thing that I've also seen in time travel books. Certainly these looping things where, like, if there are consequences, like, oh, okay, there are real consequences, we don't want to change too much, because then on the next time through, maybe I won't be born, or maybe these other people won't be born, or I better not do anything like this because then other people might be born. And so the idea being that some of these time loopy people, they can be wiped out. And I was thinking, well, of course, as soon as I understood that, I was like, well, that explains all the start of the book. Because the whole start of the book is Harry August, the way he is. He says, well, I was born here, but my parents weren't my real parents because I was adopted and nobody really knew who I was born, and it was all kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is great. So that's the reason why he is the antagonist, is because when the purge happens and they start killing off everyone, nobody's going to know who his parents were, and they won't be able to kill him off before he's born. Which was a bit annoying that I kind of worked that out when I got to like chapter 3. It's one bit of a spoiler here. When that actually does happen later on, I was kind of annoyed. I could kind of see that was coming, but it also did. It kind of did make up for the fact. I was like, wow, this is a lot of time spent in his childhood. And he was always saying about how his childhood is the most boring part. But like the whole, like, I was born here, and then I actually wasn't born here. People thought I was born here, but I was actually born here. So that's, not a complaint about the book, but it kind of explained why at the start. I was like, wow, this is going a bit in depth now, really going, is it? Do we need all of this stuff? And then as soon as I worked out the rules, I was like, oh, like chapter 4, I was like, okay, we do need the rules for that. And then later on in chapter 170, lots of very short chapters in this, we got all the way through to the end of this 12-hour audiobook, and it's like, well, yes, okay, now I understand. It's confirmed to me. And I think, you know, after all that setup, you know, before I even get onto the character of Harry August, I think that kind of explains what I really enjoyed about this book, and also kind of what I didn't enjoy about this book. I was like, is this going to be a story, or is this going to be an exploration of how this time travel should work? You know, like, there is a problem. There is an antagonist. How will the antagonist stop you doing what you're going to do? Oh, they've got to get back forward and, like, get back to before you were in time. And how would you stop your antagonist? Oh, you've got to get back before them in time and stop them before they can start doing stuff. And I was like, is that it? Is that going to be, like, because that's always the thing that when I'm reading a time travel book, I was like, okay, if there is an antagonist who also can travel through time, that's the only solution. And that, unfortunately, did become the main thrust of the book, especially when you get through about to like the mid part of this book, and you go, okay, now the thing that happens at the very start, which, you know, this in the prologue, when someone says, Harry August, I needed to catch you, this is your 11th life, and because it's your 11th life, you know the whole situation. I'm going to have to tell you this, and you got to tell people who are around when you were young. The future is ending. Stuff is happening. And so once that kind of kicks off again in like that second half where it happens is that you have that in the prologue, and then it goes, does a lot of backstory, and then it catches up, and then it says, okay, and now let's get back to that bit. Now let's see how it plays out for the last four, or not the last four lives. Let me put it this way. Of the first 15 lives of Harry August, the second half of the book is mostly the lives 11 through 15 or 14. I can't remember. So of that, to show, okay, this is actually now what he's doing. Unfortunately, it is, oh, I've got to get back in time before somebody else and sort something else out before they can get back in time and sort stuff out for me. And there's a bit of a race back before people. And it is good, but I was a bit annoyed that I was like, oh, okay, like in chapter 3 of 70, I'd kind of worked out what kind of story, if it was that kind of story, would it be that story? And it turns out that it was that kind of story, and it was that story. And I really wanted it to be a story about something else except time travel, because this is such an interesting setup. Oh, okay, someone knows what they can do, or they know what is going to happen, and then they have another life, and they remember what happened the previous life, and what do they learn from it, and what do they do? And I quite like that idea, but here it did feel like all of that was very much background. And again, it comes down to these people live in a world where they're not allowed to change very much, and they live in a world where they have, like, all the money that they want, and they have all the knowledge that they want, and they can do anything that they want generally because they've got time to do everything, and they've got the money to do everything, and they don't have the responsibilities. And also this kind of weird thing where they, like normal people who can't loop back in time, I think it's about 1 in every 1,000,000 people can loop back in time. So there's about, how many people in the world? There's a few billion people in the world, because at various times in the book there's different numbers of people, but you're thinking, okay, so at any one time there's going to be, you know, around the whole world, maybe 5,000 people who can keep looping back around and who are members of the Kronos Club. Like, that's just like a whole class of people who hold themselves above other people. And they are above other people. They do have special powers. They are actually that special. And Harry August is one of those, and he does take full benefits of that. But I kind of wanted them to take more responsibility or less responsibility. Either they should just go completely crazy. And we do get glimpses of that when it says, oh, and I met this person here in Afghanistan, and he always decided to go and join up in different wars. And if he died, it didn't matter because he just has to, you know, go through puberty again. And then he can sign up back in the army and go off and have an adventure in a different war. And then he goes off, sometimes he's in the Korean War and the Vietnam War and also in Afghanistan and the Congo and other places. You know, he just keeps going to different war zones and setting himself up as a warlord and things. And I'm like, okay, why couldn't we, like, it would have been really fun to have that story in a way. It would be a bit like the movie with Tom Cruise, Live, Die, Repeat. Edge of Tomorrow, which is again another one of those looping things. And it's like, yeah, why couldn't we get the action version, like the action film war movie version of people called that one, was it Saving Private Groundhog? Because it was like, let's storm the beaches in Normandy, and if you die, you can get to do it again. So we could have had that story, which again, that is also a little bit about the time travel-y thing. There is time travel-y stuff in there, but in the end, they have a different story, and there's different things going on there. And in this book, I was like, yeah, like we follow the life of Harry August, who is someone who for the first half of the book, not that interesting. I mean, okay, interesting, but not doing anything like fantastically like if you could do this, why wouldn't you just go on the craziest adventures? And we get a few glimpses of that. Like, he goes to China in the 1960s to be, you know, there for when, you know, the Cultural Revolution was happening. I was like, okay, but I always just felt like other people were having more interesting lives than Harry August. You met these other people who would be spies, and he did that again a little bit, but it wasn't that interesting. And other people who were, you know, doing all the money stuff, and other people who were criminals, and other people who were murderers, and other people who were just trying to fuck everything up just because, hey, let's just fuck everything up, let's just see how it goes. And other people were like, whoa, stop fucking. You know, so we got glimpses of that. But Harry August himself, the only reason it seemed like he was the guy who could sort something out was because, like, well, I kind of knew he was going to be the guy to sort it out, because he was the one and who it was really difficult to work out who his parents were, because his mother died in childbirth and then he was adopted over here and nobody really knew where he came from. And I was like, that's chapter one of this book, the weird circumstances around his birth. And I was like, is that the only thing that made him special, that he grew up in a home and he knew, like, he knew who his father was, and he had a relationship with his real father, but also with his adopted father? And that was kind of interesting, but not really. Like, I don't know. I would have been happier if he was more of an interesting main character, and in his own way, in his own volition, was like, okay, I want to do some more stuff. What else do I have to say about this book? Yeah, so I think that's one of the things, and I don't want to get too much. I've talked a bit about this, but like I say, about this, I've done mild spoiler areas, but I don't want to go too much more into the story and the different characters, because that's what this book is about in the end. It's lots of vignettes told out of order of the first 15 lives of Harry August. Most of it is like, some of it you go get like the first life, his childhood in his first life, and then what happened there, and through his first life where he didn't know that he was going to live again, And then his second life, and it's like, oh, well, lots of people don't, they think they're going mad and they try and commit suicide and all that kind of stuff. And then the third life is where it really picks up. But a lot of those stories are told out of order, like, oh, normally in my youth, this happened to my youth. And also over here, this happened to my youth. And then when I was middle age, this happened to me once. And then over here, that happened to me once in middle age. And it's kind of pieced together, like in a non-chronological storytelling. But it's always kind of laid out really in a real simple way. It's sort of like, ah, and then in my seventh life, when I was this old in my seventh life, I met up with this person again and we had this conversation. And then in my tenth life, when I was a bit younger, we met up again. And this is the conversation I had with her then. And then at this life, when I was like this, I met this person and I fell in love with that person. And it's, I don't know, a lot of that first part of the book, I was just like, well, yeah, but like, what about the world ending in the future? And it's going to end, it's ending sooner every cycle. When are we going to get to that? And it was very slow paced up to that. Then in the middle of the book where it suddenly kicks off and you're like, right, now we know what the problem is. Now let's really get going with this book. It kind of just stayed in the same pacing, except that now Harry August had a plan and they had something that he wanted to do. But even that is really difficult to make it feel like something urgent when it's set over 1,000 years. Well, maybe not 1,000 years, but like he lives until he's 70 every time. And there's 15 lives of someone who's 70. So each time it's like, okay, now I was this old in this life, and now let me set it up here. And even into the end of the book where I thought, right, now we're going to accelerate through to the end and everything's going to be really quickly. It's not. It's told in very much the same way, and with so many of these flashback, flash forwards, like flashing out of time to the third life and the eighth life and then back to the, like, obviously 11th life and then something that happened in his second life and then all his third life. You know, it keeps flicking backwards and forwards, and I was just like, what this could do with is a lot of this stuff taken out at this point and let's just move on with the story. I could have done with this. Let me have a look here on the Audible page. It says, yeah, this is a 12 hours, 10 minutes audiobook. 3 hours could have come out of this with no problem at all. And I could even probably like underline some of the parts which could come out. However, of the stuff that was there, none of it was bad. And that's the weird thing, that overall, I quite enjoyed this book, even though I did think it was too slow, and I kind of wanted more from the main character, and I kind of wanted more from the story itself. What Claire North, as the author, which is actually a pseudonym, which I'll look up, actually, it's actually Catherine Webb who wrote this, but under the name of Claire North, she released this one. But like what she is wanting to do and how she is doing it, I actually think is pretty good, even though I felt like I've read this story before. I felt like I've thought about this story before. I felt like I've written this story before. The writing was very good. I mean, there's lots of, you know, great turns of phrase, and Peter Kenny as the audiobook narrator really brings it to life. Oh, I made this one note as I was listening through. I was just like, oh, I quite like this turn of phrase. You know, things like this, talking about two small villages in Russia, and it says, if Petrikov 111 was a one-horse town, Petrikov 112 was a glue factory where that horse went to die. And I'm like, yep, that's pretty good. That's a fun turn of phrase. However, when we actually get to the end of the book, it's like, this is all written in first person. And it's like, that's a nice turn of phrase, but is that, would Harry August have said that? Maybe. And that's the weird thing, that this was all written in Harry August's voice, but his authorial voice, like the voice of the author, felt very different from Harry August himself as a person. And there's this one character who's like, oh, we were always friends, we're really good friends, and this person, I was like, yes, I could understand why you would be friends with the author of this book, but I don't really understand why you're friends with Harry August. So there was this weird dissonance, and I was like, oh, okay, Harry August is writing this book like it's a first-person narration, but it doesn't, like, it didn't seem to match up with, like, the life he was leading. Like, it didn't feel like in his 15 lives he ever, like, if he was the kind of person who could write this well about the things that he did, he wouldn't have done the things he'd have done. He would have done something different. And it's a weird thing to feel that way in a book, that you think, ah, okay, the writing is too interesting for the boring character that I'm reading about. Because if a character this boring was writing this book, it would be a lot more boring to read. And I'm not sure if I've ever kind of experienced that. I've probably noticed it and stuff reading it, but it was one of the first times I kind of had that feeling about reading a book that I was thinking the writing is more characterful than the character who is meant to have been doing the writing in this book. But, yep, that wasn't too bad. At least, let us say, Peter Kenny. Oh, and also Harry August is from the north of England or Scotland, somewhere up there in the borders. And Peter Kenny does lots of good accents really well. So I actually quite liked his kind of more educated but northern accent that he could do with this. And there's lots of different people because there's Cronus Club members from all over the world. And so he does. Peter Kenny is a very good performer and does lots of the accents really well for the different characters, even though at some points he's doing, I am now doing a Russian accent. And he says, and I did a perfect Russian accent because I'd been training my Russian accent for many lifetimes. I'd spoken Russian, so I knew that my Russian accent was perfect. And I was listening to it. I was like, I'm going to take your word for it, Peter Kenny, that you're doing a perfect Russian accent here, because I don't know if that is it. But thankfully, the when there's lots of accents, so if there's two characters who are going to be speaking Russian for an entire chapter, he doesn't do a Russian accent for the entire thing. He's just like, okay, I'm going to just do two normal English accents, and I'm just going to say that they're Russian accents, but which is also a big relief that I guess is a bit like the Hunt for the Red October, a movie which I watched a few months ago and actually just listened to a podcast about. And it reminds me there, they're like, okay, everyone's speaking Russian. Let's just have the actors talk in their normal accents, and we're just going to presume they're different Russian accents, which is a good thing to be comfortable in a piece of fiction which is being acted out. So actually, let's just do the Audible ad now. You can actually get this book for free, which is The First 15 Lives of Harry August by Claire North. If you go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP, you can sign up for a free trial. And by signing up for the free trial, you get one book a month or two books a month. The free trial part is you get the first month free. So you get a free audiobook, and you can download the First 15 Lives of Harry August, which is pretty good. 12 hours and 10 minutes. Good deal there. But there's also like 180,000 other books that you can get. Now, some cool benefits is that you can listen to these audiobooks on any device, on the iPhone, on the Android phone, or any, like pretty much anything that plays audio has an Audible app, and you just pay a certain amount and get so many credits per month. And I'm on a plan where I get 2 credits a month. Now, here's something really fantastic. I was in bed last week, and I was kind of tired, but I'd finished this book, and I'd finished some other audiobooks, and I'd finished like the ebooks that I was reading as well. And I was like, oh, I need a new book, and I was pretty tired, and I was flicking through, and I thought, well, I'll check out the Wheel of Time, Eye of the World Wheel of Time book. And I started listening to that and fell asleep immediately. And then the next night I was like, okay, let's carry on. And I fell asleep immediately. And it took me about a week and a half to get through about a week to get through the first 25 minutes of that audiobook. And I was like, okay, is it just a really bad, boring book? Or am I just too tired and I keep falling asleep? So I thought, well, I'm going to go for it. And I started listening to more of it. And over the last few days, I managed to get about 2.5 hours into this audiobook. And I realized I made a big mistake starting off The Wheel of Time as an audiobook, or at all. And this is really not the book for me, because after a week and a half, I'd managed to get about, 7 or 8% into a 30-hour audiobook. And there is another 30, after that 30 hours is up, there's another 13 books in the whole series of novels. And I was like, I made a big mistake here. I wish in my half-drunken, very tiredness, I hadn't have spent this credit. So I went on to Audible, and you know what? Got my credit back. If you don't like the book, you can just say, no, that book isn't for me. I started it, and it's really not working for me. I don't like the narrator. Actually, the narrator's not too bad, but I don't like the book at all. You can just say, oh, thank you back. And if you've got like your normal... you can't do that if you don't have a Audible membership, like a subscription, but I do. And if you have one too, if you ever think, oh, I'll take this audiobook, and you're like, actually, no, I don't want that audiobook, you can just say, nope, I don't want that, and they'll give you your credit back, and you can try out something else. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I did that. My first ever audiobook return from Audible. Normally, I've been happy enough that even if I haven't finished a book, I was like, well, I got a good lot of reading out of that. And there I was like, I'm not going to do that. So there's another benefit from Audible. You can get your credits back if you don't spend them. Audibletrial.com/SFBRP. And a mini review of the first three chapters of The Wheel of Time, which I'm never going to get into more of. Anyway, so what else? I was actually talking about First 15 Lives of Harry August. So as a spoiler for this review, I'm not going to spoil this First 15 Lives of Harry August, but just so, of course, lots of people who have read my own fiction, that a novel that I wrote back in 2008 and published and put it on my website, and lots of people have downloaded and read that book. It's called Minding Tomorrow. Now, if you read Minding Tomorrow, small spoilers for Minding Tomorrow, it's kind of another kind of replay book where people, like one person, can live his life over and over again. And so it feels a bit weird to be reading this book, The First 15 Lives of Harry August. And a lot of the complaints that I've made, I think I'm not a good reader because I'm kind of an expert reader of like thinking through all the problems of someone living their life over again, and all of the time travel-y kind of things that go over, and all of the things that happen in this book. It's not that I've read this before, and I mentioned this before. It's not like, oh, I've read this kind of book before. It's like, I've written this kind of book before. I've come up against the same things. The idea of like, oh, what happens? Like, how can someone keep, like, isn't it really difficult to write a story where somebody's main purpose in life is to try to not affect history very much? And isn't it a bit weird where, you know, like, oh, what happens if you write a story and you're then telling it non-chronologically, like someone is over here and then you go back to life 15 and then you go back to life number 2 and then forward again to life number 5 and then, you know, onwards to life number 7 and then back to life number 3, you know, I've done all of that kind of thing as a writing exercise and all the problems that come up with it. So there's a small spoiler for Minding Tomorrow, that it's another go back in time, somebody knowing what's going to happen because he's lived his life before kind of story, or he or she has lived their life before. Which I don't think is a problem. I think there is space for different versions of this story, and The First 15 Lives of Harry August is one version of that, and of course my own book is another version of it, and it's weird to say this, like, oh, I like my version better, yeah, because I wrote my version. But again, I don't think my novel is better than this book or not. It's just sort of like a different take on the same setup, which I'd love to say, oh, I've got this other complaint about this book, or I really like more about Harry August, but I don't really have that much to say, I say after talking about it for half an hour. But like, it's one of those books that after I finished it, I was like, oh, that was a book, and I can say a lot of stuff about it. But like, again, it felt really difficult to find, well, what is this book about? And it's a book about somebody living their life over and over. It's not about them. It's not about a person who lives their life over and over again. It kind of is, but it was that disappointment where I was like, oh, it's just about time travel. It's a time travel story which is just about time travel. It's someone living their life again book just about someone who lives their life again. And I was like, oh, well, can it be about something more than that? And if it is about something more than that, it's about, well, I guess a guy had a bit of a weird childhood, I guess, but that, I mean, was like, did that make the book richer? Did it inform what happened later on in his life or the whole outcome of the story? Not really. Oh, and it's a story about two people who are really good friends, and even if they do bad things to each other, they're still really good friends. And I was like, yeah, but like, was this 12-hour audiobook, like, was it really about that? Well, it wasn't really. It was more about like the time travel thing, which, you know, that friendship kind of work, you know, it played into it. And I was thinking, well, is it about rich, privileged people who are aloof from the rest of the world, controlling things from behind? Is it like a political, you know, sort of like analogy to political systems where people are running things in the background and there's these powerful people and there needs to be a revolution to stop them being so influential? I was like, well, it really isn't. It's just sort of like the Cronus Club is just rich people just hanging out but not trying to affect things and not trying to be. Is it about rich people and, you know, who don't think about human life in the same way, like, because they're just the, you know, the plebs, they're just around and they're dispendable, and we are the important ones who live live many more lives, and it doesn't matter if somebody else dies now, because in the next life they'll be dead, but we're more important, because, you know, if you kill one of us and we're wiped out before we're even born, that's like thousands of years of human experience, which is more important. And I was thinking, well, I couldn't feel a way to kind of connect any bigger themes onto this book. It's like, yeah, well, it's a story about time travel, and I wanted those bigger themes, and I guess they're there, but it was always so much in the background, but in the foreground it was kind of a bit noodly. Now, what was in the foreground was okay, like a guy doing stuff, meeting people. Every single other person he meets is more interesting than him, but he's like a little bit special in this 1/2 ways, which I haven't gone into too much for spoiler reasons. But yeah, I never really, like, I thought it was a good book, but it never really clicked with me. So yep, so that's why I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. Because I was thinking, oh, 3 stars. And I was thinking, no, 4 stars. And then after I thought about it, I was like, no, 3 stars. But then I think I'm going to settle on 3.5 stars, because it's not a bad book. It is slow-paced. And I was overall disappointed in some major factors of it. But what was here in the book was actually pretty good. So I'm going to call it kind of average good. Like, totally average is 2.5 stars. Like, average okay is 3. Average good is, like, 3.5 stars. A really good book is 4 stars, though. And it's not a really good book. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's a good book. So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars. And that's it about that book. The next book I'm going to review is, actually, I don't know, but check out a Reading Envy podcast that we're going to get to with me and Jenny. She's going to be releasing that next week, or in 2 weeks' time, or maybe 4 weeks' time. Depends how quickly she edits it together and what other things she's got to edit to put together. So check out the Reading Envy podcast. I will drop that episode here in the feed where I was on that guest episode. So, in fact, you don't have to. Just keep subscribed to this one. And the next book that I'm going to review is... Actually, not really sure. I might get around to reviewing The Star Fraction, because I'm probably never going to finish that. I'm going to have to do the review of it. I will not be doing a Wheel of Time review, because I only got through the first 3 chapters of that, the first 3 chapters of 14 books. And then I've got some, and because I stopped, I got that credit back for that book today. I've got to find another audiobook that I'm going to listen to. Oh, all right, yeah, the e-book as well. I'm going to get to the follow-up to Ancillary Justice, which is Ancillary Sword, by Anne Leckie. So I've got that as an ebook to read as well, which I will get to. I'll probably start that this evening. Email me, luke@juggler.net. Email me if you've got a question or if you want to get in touch with anything. Thanks for the feedback that I got from before. A few people really enjoyed hopefully more than a few people, but I got quite a few emails about the Martian review that me and Juliana did. I'm not going to be reviewing every science fiction book or every single science fiction book that I see. That would be a totally other podcast. Maybe we'll do it. We'll do it again next year. We'll do some more movie podcasts if there's any new science fiction movies that come. Hey, maybe Star Wars, but I think everyone will be sick of Star Wars. Already got the tickets for that, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Email me, luke@juggler.net. Follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurridge there. And become my friends on goodreads.com. And that's the best way to influence what book I'm going to read, is go to the Goodreads, become my friend. Also sign up, join the SFPRP listener group on Goodreads. Join in the conversation there. And if you want me to read a book, like I mentioned at the start of this podcast, just pop it down into the books I would like to see reviewed thread. And if other people say, yes, that book, I will get to it way sooner than if you just email me the book recommendation. So that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.